welcome to your go-to podcast for making the most of your second chance after a conviction, inspiring you to navigate the challenges associated with having a criminal record. I'm your host, Dion, and this is Uncensored Inspiration. Community, welcome back to Uncensored Inspiration, where you can speak freely and think boldly. Remember, this is your go-to podcast for making the most of your second chance. Again, super excited about my next guest. She is a Norristown native. She is a community advocate and also works on the side of the defendant. She is in your corner. Welcome, community, Taria Mayo, who wants to be referred to as T. How are you doing today, T?
I'm okay. How are you?
I am well. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You are welcome. Tell us a little bit about what it feels like to be the support system for a person who is going through the court system. What do you do and how can we help people?
So I am formerly, no longer, but I'm still part of a hub called Montgomery County Participatory Defense.
Okay.
And I also counter-coordinate with Reuniting a Family Bail Fund.
Nice.
Where I help Heather Lewis out a lot. She's executive director
of
that program.
Heather.
And Scotty Tags, Ernest
Scotty,
is also the vice president.
Nice.
And Yvonne Pratts is the president.
I don't know you, Miss Pratts, but hey, girl.
Bail Fund.
Okay.
So what I do as a defense advocate, I help defendants and community and families navigate the system.
Okay.
And that's by helping them with things like biopacks.
Now, what is a biopack?
So a social biopack is something here similar.
Okay.
That I have right here. I did this one for my little brother.
Okay.
And it's, as lawyers will call it, it's called a medicated packet. And what it is pretty much, it's a packet that will give you pretty much your life story to make you humanized.
Okay.
So
what, we're no longer human once we get into the system?
They don't deem you humanized
okay.
anymore.
Okay, okay.
Sometimes believe in, sometimes some people will call people that's in the system an animal.
An animal,
and
wow.
This way we can let people know that they are
real people.
Real people.
Right? And this is what
And they
starts.
Just made a bad decision.
As all people do, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't use the word mistake because mistake is a word that in the criminal justice legal system, they don't like to hear because mistakes are what kids make. As adult, we should know what a mistake and a bad decision is to know the difference.
Okay.
So when a lot of people go in front of the parole board or they go into a sentencing hearing and they advocate for themselves and they have their last hearing and they're able to speak upon for themselves, the word mistake, a lot of judges get very upset about that.
Okay. That's good to know. And I'm saying that as a person who is somewhat caught up in the system and needing to navigate through this, that I don't need to say the word mistake because I don't want anybody to look at me and be like, oh, well, again, you knew better. You're not allowed to make a mistake. And that's something small, but that's so big.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And also what I do is I skim through discoveries.
Okay.
And
what's a discovery?
Discovery is your case.
Okay.
So what happens with a discovery, some people do not get their discovery like they're supposed to.
Okay.
And that's one of their rights.
So me as a person who's about to be on trial should have a copy of my discovery.
Yes.
Before the trial. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And make sure that whoever is representing you, a public defender.
Okay.
Or a private attorney.
Yes.
Or if you represent yourself,
mm-hmm.
that you want from the district attorney's office, you would like your full discovery.
Okay.
And that's your whole case. Everything that they have on you for evidence.
Okay.
And once you go through your discovery, then you can know the evidence that Commonwealth has against you.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they come in the end with some discovery that you might not get.
Okay.
But your lawyer is supposed to know everything that the other side has.
Okay. And now once we have this discovery, what are we doing with it?
You're going to skim through it.
Okay.
You're going to skim through it. You're going to look through it with your attorney if you don't understand it. You're going to ask questions. You're going to highlight big points that you want inside the discovery to be answered.
Okay.
And then you can go to the law library and look up your case.
Okay.
Or cases similar to yours.
Okay.
And you can go through your discovery there and see what kind of laws that you have backing you with that case.
So what if I find something on my discovery that's not true?
Then you need to address that to your attorney.
Okay.
Because we know that the burden doesn't fall on the defendant.
Okay.
So it comes on the prosecution. So they have the burden. So what happens is that you just really have to show up.
Okay.
As a defendant, you really don't have to talk or do anything. You don't even have to testify. Sometimes people want to because they want to tell their story.
Yes.
But really the burden isn't on you.
Okay. So the burden is on the prosecution to say that this is what I did and these are the facts that they have and this is why we're here today.
Yes.
Okay. So as a person who's sitting, being the defendant, what else can I do? You know, you got my discovery. We've looked at this. We're okay with this. Now, what's my next step?
Well, your best next step is, as a defendant, especially if you're going to go to trial, is just to come up with some character witnesses.
Okay.
And character witnesses is pretty much people that can speak for who you are as a person.
Okay.
Like, they can speak for me, Taria, and they can speak for you, Dion.
Okay.
And they will humanize you to the point of, it's best to get people that know you well.
All right.
And as I did when my brother got sentenced, I got 10 good speakers.
Awesome.
And I got ex-coworkers.
Okay.
I got community advocates. I got people that have coached with him.
Okay.
I had got an RN. I got a councilman and people that dealt with him one-on-one in the community. And I got 2 students that he formerly teached.
Okay. So are the people's positions in life as important as the people are?
Sometimes not.
Okay.
It's all about the truth of the person.
Okay.
Because just because I say that you got good character mm-hmm. doesn't mean everybody is going to say you have good character.
Okay. So again, a person is getting prepared for trial. They've come out to the United Family Bail Fund. What other assistance do you offer?
So the United Family Bail Fund is an organization that helps incarcerated people that have bail under $5,000.
Okay.
So $5,000 and under, you can be put a referral in.
Okay.
Through Bail Fund, Montgomery County, bailfund.org.
Okay.
And when you go onto there, you're going to see different options and you can push on bail support.
Okay.
And when you push on bail support, you put, it would guide you. So basically you put the name of the person needing the support.
All right.
And then as the person that's referring the person, you put your name.
Okay.
As a community person that is referring that person, you put the attorney's name, number, email address, you put their crime, you put how much the bail is, because sometimes people get bail 10% mm-hmm. of that $5,000.
Okay.
So 10% of $5,000 is $500.
Okay.
So it's going to ask you how much is the original bail, how is it RRR, is it 10%? Different things like that. Now, with RR bail, you don't need a bail bondsman.
Now, what is ROR bail?
That's when you get out on your own signature.
Okay.
So that's an unsecured bail.
Okay. So they're saying you're not a flight risk. Yes. Maybe it was a car accident and you didn't have a driver's license, but you're in this situation, but we believe you're going to come back. So you're released on your own recognizance?
Yes.
All right. Perfect. Okay.
Yes.
And then what other options do people have? How else can you help them?
Not just bailing you out.
Okay.
But then you have another section on there where it says court advocacy.
That's what we're talking about, that support.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's the Montgomery County Participatory Defense.
Nice. Now, what does this group do?
So what the hub does is that they help the community of the family members that are incarcerated or that have become defendants.
Okay.
And that sometimes can't come outside and get the bail.
Okay.
Because sometimes bail is just either you're not bailable, and that's usually with first degree murder or some other circumstances if they feel as though you're in danger to the community.
Okay.
And then you got people that get high bail.
Okay.
Where the families just can't pay it.
That. Okay.
So that's like $1 million bail.
Okay.
The other day I seen a man get $5 million bail.
So I want to ask a quick question about that before we get too far away. With bail being set, do you find, and I'm only asking your perspective from your position, that bail is typically higher for African-Americans to commit the same crime as non-African-Americans?
That's a good question that you say that. And I do feel as though that sometimes that African-Americans do get the stick a little shorter
okay.
than someone that's non-African. African American.
So in a situation like that, and I'm just throwing out a hypothetical situation, we have two people here. It was a carjacking, the black guy's bail's 10 mil. The non-black guy's bail is $5. Where's the justice in that? And how can your group or anybody help with that stigma right there?
So that is a good question, because that's why that's where I come into play at.
Awesome.
And that's where as part of helping the Bell Fund and also Montgomery County Petitory Defense, I am the court watch coordinator.
Okay.
So as a court watch coordinator, I watch court from 9:30. 9:30 is a preliminary arraignment.
Okay.
And that's when people are at the beginning stages. That means you just got arrested.
Mm-hmm.
You got taken to the precinct. The precinct took you to 60 Eagle Road Road.
Okay.
And now you're seeing an on-call judge.
Okay.
So we have 29 judges here in Montgomery County as the DJ.
That's a lot.
That's a district judge.
Okay.
So.
Why so many?
Because it's so many. It's actually 67, I think, good counties Lord. Here in
Pennsylvania.
In Montgomery County
okay.
alone.
Okay.
And every judge and sometimes has multiple counties.
Okay.
Inside of Montgomery County.
Okay.
Cities. So, you know, you got some people that's in Norristown. Mm-hmm. So here in Norristown, we know we had the three top judges.
Okay.
And they're the African-American judges for the district justice.
Who are our top three?
And that is Denise Ash.
Hey, Denise.
Tom Barnes.
Hi, Tom.
And Hakeem Jones.
Hey, Hakeem. I'd like to see all of you on my show. Short plug.
Yes. So they are our three African-American judges
nice.
On Marshall Street.
Okay.
Marshall and DeKalb in Norristown.
Okay.
And they do on-call also.
Amazing.
So what happens is that I watch court at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
Now that's bail reviews. So the new system is now you no longer go to the precinct. And you know how before when you get arrested, you stay there overnight, you see a judge that night, and you get bail.
Yes.
That doesn't happen anymore.
Okay.
So now we have a new program called pretrial services. So it's been in effect, I think, a couple years now. And what pretrial services is that you go, you get locked up, they take you straight to a police station, they take you up to 60 Eagleville Road.
Which is the county
Montgomery
prison.
County Correctional Facility.
Okay.
And you will see, you get interviewed by a pretrials officer.
Okay.
And what they do is that they do your history, like you just said. So basically, they go all the way down to when you was a juvenile.
All right.
To any troubles that you have gotten to.
Okay.
And that's when the score recommends either you get out on unsecure,
okay,
or you're no bailable. So when it's called no bailable, that means it's a cash bail that can come on you.
Okay.
Then they tell you if you have any FTAs, like you said, failure to appear.
Okay.
And even if they happened decades ago,
okay,
all that will come up.
It's gonna come
to your history.
Up. Okay.
And that will be your point system.
Okay.
And that's where your bail lies at. So it's three reasons that judges are supposed to give bail.
Okay.
And that is for everyone gets bail except for first degree murder.
Okay.
And I told you that before.
Understood, yes.
And second degree, I believe, also is not a bailable offense because it's a life imprisonment.
Oh, goodness.
But other than that, third degree is bailable.
Okay.
And people don't know that.
Quick
what it is.
Question, because I'm going to ask, what's the difference between first, second, and third degree murder?
So first degree is premeditation.
Okay.
Well, we learned in the years that premeditation is not what we think as a plan.
Okay.
You can be premeditated and not have a plan.
Okay.
It just happened spontaneously and it happened.
So and I'm just saying because sometimes I get a little confused with conversations. I want to make sure I have this clearly. So premeditated, but not being premeditated. So saying I had a snafu on the road and a person pissed me off, they cut me off and I said, well, I'm going to kill that person. But I didn't actually mean to say I'm going to kill that person. But then two blocks down the road, we get into a car accident and I killed that person.
Mm-hmm.
So is that premeditated? Is this what we're talking about?
Yeah, that can be something considered as first degree.
Okay.
Because you still had the mindset.
Okay.
So it's basically the prosecution has to prove that at the time of that intent that you was intending to kill that person.
Okay, so they have to walk through my mind and make it make sense.
Yes.
Okay, so second degree would be?
Felony.
Okay, so what's second degree murder, though? I didn't think about it, but it just happened?
Second degree is in the commission of another crime.
So you're robbing someone and you unfortunately shoot them and now the person's gone. So that's second degree. And third degree?
That is basically malice without malice. and without malice. So first degree is malice.
Okay.
That means you attended.
Okay.
Third degree is not. It's just recklessness where
I had a car accident and as a result, my passenger died. Would that be?
That would be more on a manslaughter, involuntary manslaughter case.
See, we going deep.
So third degree can be a fight.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So basically, you can get into a fist fight.
Mm-hmm.
And you can knock the person out.
Mm-hmm.
They hit their head on the side of the curve.
Oh, God.
You didn't mean for them to die.
Okay.
You didn't have any malice in it.
Yes.
But you recklessly acted.
So that's interesting because we're going to dive off a deep cliff with that. What if that's self-defense? If the person came into you and slapped you and it's like, all shit is on and popping now. Put your hands on the wrong person and you laying on the ground. Am I in trouble?
So that's a big stretch there.
Okay.
So self-defense in Pennsylvania is very, very, very hard to prove. But it is ways around it.
So hot time out, friend. We're having a friendly conversation. Somebody puts their hands on you and you defend yourself. How's that hard? Why is that hard? Because it seems cut, clear, and dry, right? Keep your hands to yourself.
And it's crazy that you said that because to today, I have set since 2020, since COVID started and then ended, I set in 100 and over 120 trials.
Oh my goodness.
And out of the 120 trials, about 75 of them were homicides.
Get out of here.
And out of 75 homicides trials that I set in here in Montgomery County, only about 5 of them came back with a not guilty plea.
That's a lot to digest right there because not guilty, meaning the person didn't mean to kill this person, meaning the person was actually innocent. And at 75%, are we just running around murking each other? And this is just a new way of life. Like, what's happening right there?
And it's funny that you said that because I'm going to go on to a case that just was recent. And it was the question that you just asked. And I'm going to tell you this case that was just recent that we set in a couple months ago, and it was a young Barbara from Hatboro, Horsham, and he had a shop. His name was Razor Reese, and he was defending himself. This guy that was lived up top of his shop for 2 years since he had the shop was constantly harassing him every day and calling him out of his name, calling him the N-word, being very inappropriate, scaring his customers away, just making it bad for his business.
Okay. And he was allowed to do this for years, though, right?
And he was documenting.
Okay.
He was calling the police and nothing was happening.
Right?
And it came to a point one day that the guy took it a little too far.
Okay.
And he was calling him out his shop. He called the cops. He was on the phone with the cops telling them that he was at the shop door. He went out to the side of his door to avoid the guy, and the guy just kept on taunting him to the point where he killed this man in self-defense on a 911 call.
Okay.
He sat in jail for first-degree murder for 10 months.
Okay, that's unfortunate.
He had a trial about 3 months ago, and he was an ex-veteran, and he was 40-something years old, nice guy, and the jury deliberated for about 6-7 hours, and they came back and found him not guilty on all charges.
Okay.
And he acted in self-defense.
Okay, understood. Understood. Okay. So, again, in cases, but let's talk outside of murder, right, where you are helping the families, what other support outside of bail can you help? What other support outside of the counseling?
Courts. Well, we do court support.
Okay.
And sometimes we can just help with just support, period.
Like,
because it is really when you're got a loved one or yourself,
because
sometimes it's yourself that you come in for.
Absolutely.
It can be stressful.
Okay. Terrifying.
So we try to support that person as best as we can.
Okay.
Mentally, emotionally, physically. We refer them to sometimes to counseling.
Okay.
And I know that Heather, my colleague, she has a good relationship with a therapist, black therapist named Akia.
Nice.
And she has referred some of us to a foundation called the Loveland Foundation.
Loveland, nice.
And they give 12 free vouchers for you to be able to see a therapist of your choice.
That's amazing.
And they pay for them. And I actually took advantage of that and used it for 12
sessions.
Mental health
is great, yes.
And I was able to get a black therapist that was great.
Okay,
wonderful.
Awesome. How'd that make you feel?
It was good.
So was your therapy what you needed to get over what you were seeking therapy for?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Back to supporting the community. What makes you do this? Why become a community advocate? Why work in the legal system? What drives you?
So I always been law and order.
Okay.
And I actually went to school for it.
Amazing.
My goal in school when I went to school for criminal justice, I really wanted to own my own private investigation.
Nice.
My PI firm.
Okay.
It's still my goal.
I got a couple of people I need you to investigate. Let's talk after this, okay?
It's my firm.
Okay, okay.
I mean, that's where is my firm. That's what I always stood on.
Okay.
And that's what I wanted to do. Always wanted to be a part of the crime scene investigation.
Nice.
I like to dissect things as like a detective.
Okay.
But never wanted to work on the other side. I always wanted to be the defense side.
Awesome.
I mean, I should have went to school for law, but too much schooling.
A long time.
But sometimes I think I can do a little better job than some of these lawyers out here.
Hey.
But it's a gift and it's a curse.
Okay. Okay.
Because every client isn't teachable and everybody isn't workable.
So that was powerful. You just gave me goosebumps when you said every client is not teachable, because I try to do a little research for our topics. And that was actually one of the topics. And I was afraid to touch that because I want to help people, right? Mm-hmm. There are thousands of people, 79 million people right now who have some sort of conviction, and you may be looking for inspiration. And like myself, didn't know where to get started. But if you are a person who is unteachable, what are we doing, friend?
We're just lost.
What does that look like? How are you helping them? Because I'm going to say this from an education standpoint. I am a middle school teacher. And I've got little Johnny over here who's a straight A student. And then I've got Andrew over here who I feel like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do with Andrew, right? And I don't want to say he's a lost cause, but most people, and I'm assuming this is what you're talking about when you're saying are unteachable, are in little Andrew's position where regardless to what I do for Andrew, it's still not working out. Mm-hmm. So how do you work with someone who's unteachable and incarcerated or about to be incarcerated?
And that's funny that you say that, because that's where I am the gift and curse at.
Okay.
So outside of the two organizations that I told you about, like I said, I just resigned from Montgomery County Participatory Defense.
Why? Hold on. Wait a minute. You're moving on to something different. You're just not being needed. What's happening there? Yes.
So my thing is that love the group.
Okay.
You know, it's a very powerful group.
Okay.
The people, the players on the group is powerful.
Nice.
But I just have a bigger and broader vision.
Okay. Awesome
and
for you.
So I am moving on.
Okay. I like that.
Farther.
Okay.
I want more.
Okay.
And me, I'm not a person that can be stagnant.
I get it.
And I'm a go-getter.
I like it.
And I'm about to launch another a nonprofit organization.
What's the title, please?
It's going to be called Maryam Graham's Kids Cafe.
Maryam Graham's
Kids Cafe.
Maryam Graham, why do I know that name?
That's Miss Nippy.
Get out of here, girl. Now I just got goosebumps. Okay, okay. So hold on, because we got 16 topics going on at the same time. First, before we get into Maryam Graham's Kids Cafe, go back to me real quick and talk about the person who's unteachable. What am I doing with you?
So now that's where my Signs of Hope come to.
Okay.
That. So Signs of Hope is my nonprofit organization that I launched in 2012.
Nice. Congrats.
And Signs of Hope came about behind a young man that got killed here from Norristown, Pennsylvania. His name was Kevin. He got burnt to death in Pottstown by one of his best friends.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry
and
to hear that.
From that, I saw that the young man that killed him was a troubled youth.
Okay.
And from that inspiration, I had connected with Kevin's mother. And I told her I want to start a foundation in honor of her son.
Okay.
And
amazing.
That year, I did a fashion show called Sharp After Dark.
Okay.
Me and Leonardis.
Okay.
And we had an Egg Hanger Pressure firehouse.
Nice.
And it was for to scholarship five students in Montgomery County.
Good.
Norristown Area School District that either lost a parent to death or a parent to incarceration.
Okay.
Because life in prison is death in prison.
It's not just for that person, but also for the family. Okay.
And for the family.
I like your work.
And so from there, Signs of Hope, I started that program. And in 2013, I took 3.5 busloads of children from the Norristown Recreational Center. It was called the Powell Center at the time.
Okay.
To a program at Temple University called Cradles to the Grave.
Nice.
And Cradles to Grave is basically the hardship of the people in the streets that lose their life to the streets.
Okay.
Because at that time, around 2012 and 13 and 14 and 15, Norristown had a lot of violence.
We did. We had a surge right up into the pandemic. And I was talking about that to another guest. Maybe up until about 2022, there was a large amount of gun violence in our very small town. And unfortunately, a lot of it was our youth.
Yes.
So again, we've got this troubled person. He's not able to understand what's going on with him. Like you said, it's not teachable. So how are you able to help them?
So that's where, that was where I started Signs of Hope. It was for the youth. The young men and young women. And I had ideals of a lockdown. Where, you know, you have them come into a facility for 24 hours and just learn things, as they call now, boots on the ground.
Okay.
But to learn everyday living skills.
Okay.
Be able to know life outside of crime.
Okay.
Know how to do financial literacy. Know how to balance the checkbook.
Okay.
And just be able to know who you are as a person.
Okay.
And get the proper mental health that you need, because mental health plays a factor in everyone's life.
It does.
Some people just are sometimes ignorant to it,
mm-hmm.
where they don't believe they have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But mental health is 20% of everyone's life makeup.
I would probably say it's a little bit more
than that. Probably a little bit more than that.
You know, because there are things you carry transitionally that you aren't even aware that happened to you. Yes. And you're out here doing things in life because of what you were predisposed to as a youth. But, girl, we're going to have you back 16 times and talk about different things.
So coming back again around, just to elaborate real quick of how that ties in with Mary and Graham's Kids Cafe. So over about 20 years ago, Miss Miriam, Miss Nippy, she was my mentor.
Okay.
Love and Ms. she Nippy. Started a program at the Carver Community Center called the Kids Cafe.
Okay.
And her goal then is when she had, so I was at the Carver Center at this time as a troubled teenager.
Okay.
And Netta Hughes was the director at the time.
Shout out Netta, shout out George Washington Community Center in Norristown, Pennsylvania.
I went to Miss Netta because I had gotten into some trouble with the law when I was 19 years old. I needed 50 hours of community service because I was able to get a program called the ARD program.
Okay, and what is ARD?
So what ARD program is, it's a second chance program. Basically, you never had offense. As an adult, they give you a second chance.
So does that give you a record when you complete the ARD program?
So when you complete it, you got to do, at that time, it was $1,000 fine.
Ooh.
It was 50 hours community service.
Okay.
And you had to do a check-in by phone.
Nice.
Every month.
Okay.
For 1 year.
Okay.
And then after that completion of everything, you will get your record expunged of.
Okay.
Where it will be sealed and not showed to any law enforcement.
Employers
or anybody else that will, it will hurt you.
Apartment complexes.
So I needed the 50 hours community service.
Okay.
So I went to the Carver Community Center. That's where I met Miss Nippy.
Okay.
She was Miss Netta's secretary at the time.
Nice.
As I started my community service there, they had another program there called the ACE program.
Okay.
So ACE program, it was I forget his name, but I know Byron Jones.
Okay.
Was part of the ACE program. And it was another lady that was part of the ACE program. And at that time, as I did my community service, Miss Nippy had told me that she wanted to help the kids of the community.
Okay.
Like she was like a mother hen.
Yes, she was.
And she said that she wanted to feed the children every day a hot meal, because sometimes kids don't have that.
You're absolutely right.
So she asked me, what did I think? And I told her to go for it. And then whatever she wanted to do, I would back her.
You would support her. Nice.
So at that time, she had asked me and Byron Jones if we would help her with this mission.
You're saying Byron Jones, DJ Belly?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry, because we're going to keep it straight. All right.
Yep, DJ Belly.
Okay.
And
hey, DJ.
So we were the co-founders of Kids Cafe.
Nice.
Miss Nippy was the founder, the CEO, and me and Byron was co-founders.
Okay.
So as co-founders, we bought a different avenue to the Kids Cafe program.
Absolutely.
So Miss Nippy bought the mill.
Okay.
Miss Nippy bought the mother hen.
Okay.
Avenue, and Miss Nippy bought the community love. Where she me and did. Byron bought the discussions.
Okay.
The activities.
Okay.
And like you just said, the more need to our children everyday life.
Okay.
So I was the counselor at the time. And we had healing circles, round tables.
Healing circle. I yes. like that.
And we'd be able to sit around, and sometimes we have almost 100 kids, and they're all, while Miss Dippy's in the kitchen cooking.
Oh, so she was actually making an authentic meal.
Yes.
Okay, nice.
We're out there having discussions, and it was like a safe space.
Okay.
Like basically what happens here stays here.
I like it.
And some of the kids would share
okay.
some of their deep, darkest places that they were at.
Okay.
And as at the time, a 20-year-old young lady, some of these kids' problems at 9, 10, and 11, I couldn't imagine.
Adult-sized problems. Okay. Yes.
Had a lot of, and sometimes that meal that Ms. Nippy would give every Tuesday from 5:30 to 7:30
mm-hmm.
was all some of them kids had.
It's unbelievable to think that in this day and age, even though I think I don't have a lot, it's amazing when you look at the person next to you who has absolutely nothing, and how people are resilient in their amount of care for other people, like Miss Nippy, who will go a step further and say, not only do I not have as much as the next person, but I'm going to share what I have with the community. So that's a remarkable skill to have. And you're revamping. Okay.
So, yeah. So the problem is that 3 years ago, me and Ms. Debbie had a conversation, and I've been working on this for the last 3 years.
Okay.
And we had a conversation because her health had took up the toll on her.
Yes.
And I told her, and I heard Trey say earlier as he was doing his podcast, that you have to keep the names where the names lie at.
Yes.
And what's your legacy is your legacy. And I told Ms. Nippy that
he just gave me before goosebumps.
Either I leave this earth or she leaves this earth,
and you're gonna fix
Kids
it.
Cafe is going to be named after her, and that's going to be her
why
legacy.
I had goosebumps. Okay.
And you'll never take away what somebody started.
It is interesting in just so many different directions that we're having this conversation, because name recognition is important. It is very important, especially for the props that someone worked for, the hard work that they gave to something, and the benevolence. Because I could be doing anything with my time, but what I chose to do was to help you, and in I don't want to say ignorance, and in moving in different directions, you neglected to give the person the homage that they were actually owed. So I want to say shout out to you for doing that. Okay. I'm sure her family is super excited about that. And how much further do you have to go before the Kids Cafe is back with her name?
Got to go through some legal hurdles.
Okay.
You know, just to get it facilitized.
Okay.
Be able to make it the LLC and the nonprofit that needs to be.
Okay.
And all that Ms. Nippy stood for with that, the mission and vision statement, is going to go deep into it. And it's going to be definitely geared to our youth.
Okay.
I'm going to get her her legacy.
Her wings.
And her wings. Involved.
Okay.
I'm just going to be the center of the start.
Okay.
But her grandchildren and her grandchildren is who is going to carry her foundation.
Awesome.
Because that's the legacy that she left, and that's the legacy as passing the baton that I'm going to do. That this is here. This is what your grandmom left. This is what her heart was, her soul, and all of them were a part of the Kids Cafe.
Oh, that's amazing. I can imagine her having all of her grandkids there, all the kids from the block, all the kids from the next block and the block over too.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, because you're obviously active in the community, you're working with the Bell Fund, you are hoping to reinvigorate the Kids Cafe. What other ways can people get in touch with you to get help? What other things are you into?
So I try to do everything I can do to support anyone in the community.
Which is why you're here, friend.
Yeah, so.
Your name speaks for itself. Yeah. I hear Taria Mayo. I'm like, she helping somebody.
Yeah, okay. And that's just, it's just my character that always been me invested. I was raised by my grandmother, and I always had that grandma trait.
Okay.
You know, as being raised by two grandmoms.
Nice.
Great grandmother, I had the you know, able to have her 96 years, and my grandmama was able to have her for 87 years.
God bless.
So I come from longevity mm-hmm. and wisdom.
Okay.
And then my father is stronghold.
Okay.
At 73.
Oh, nice.
So my dad always taught us to be independent. I'm the oldest of 8 children.
Okay.
So sometimes my brothers and sisters kind
of like
redirect me.
Mm-hmm. You're the sister, but
I'm
the mom.
But I'm the oldest
okay.
of them all.
Okay.
So I have to be the one that's the leader.
Nice.
And then as my children, I want to leave legacy behind for them also.
You want to show them how important it is to not only be a part of the community, but fight for your community. Because without community support for one another, we won't have a community.
And that's right.
Okay.
And it's crazy that you say that, because the problem is now is that you just said, my biggest avenue is back to boots on the ground with the war that we're having with our youth right now mm-hmm. out here in Norristown. It's out of control. These gangs, the shooting, the murders, everything. And I got teenagers caught up in the middle of that situation.
And it's unfortunate. I had a conversation with some youth who were bringing me up to speed mm-hmm. on the gangs in Norristown. And I was really taken back. I was like, we got what? These yeah. kids are doing who? Yeah. There's how many? Why? And that to me is a troubling pattern
yes.
that A, we're not used to, because again, Norristown was a small place. We all grew up knowing mm-hmm. each other. If you had issues with somebody, y'all squashed it. It went whatever way it went. But this new generation, our community is now no longer a small community. We are bust wide open.
Yes.
Everybody doesn't know everybody.
No.
Our values are definitely different. And what's going on in each household is different,
yes.
right? So now we got all that mixed up together and we're out here on the streets fighting each other. Taria, how can we stop that? What can we do to help our kids?
What part of my new goal and advocacy goes strong is I'm going to start a juvenile division.
Okay.
Juvenile Justice Division Hub.
Nice.
Where we have the kids run the hub.
Okay.
You know, like basically you tell us what you need from us.
Okay.
And
okay.
then we'll go.
That's important.
You know,
hear
as
them.
They have it here, it's called a youth panel.
Okay.
But that is not really active here in Montgomery County.
Okay.
But it's similar to a youth aid panel, but it's going to be a juvenile justice reform hub.
Okay.
For our young children. So right now I am partner up with a new foundation that's here in Norristown.
Okay.
Called SRC.
Okay.
And
what's SRC stand for?
System Reformative Change.
Nice.
And the founder of that is Tyree Wallace.
I'm not familiar with that person, but hey, Tyree.
Tyree is a formerly incarcerated man.
Okay.
Man that did 26 years
Ooh.
For murder that he did not commit.
Oh, stop.
He just got resentenced.
What are you getting resentenced for? You didn't do something.
Well, that was the deal to come home. And that's the problem that we're having with the justice reform system, that is not always reform. Sometimes you have to bow down if you want to see the day of light.
Girl, okay, we're not going to do my goosebumps, because in that so many powerful things are happening, right? Because, again, it can be curved to the color of your skin, right?
Mm-hmm.
It can be, there is an opportunity for me to write this wrong, but because I'm Black, you're not going to get that opportunity, right?
Yeah.
There is the whole avenue of the socioeconomic factor. Do you have enough money to pay your way out of this situation?
Mm-hmm.
So I can go on and on and on about that. I got the wrap-up sign over there from the corner.
So
what would you leave our guests with?
But SRC is here.
Okay.
They're 1102 DeKalb Street.
Okay.
They are there
in Norristown, PA.
Norristown, Pennsylvania, 19401.
Thank you.
They have Wellness Wednesdays.
Okay.
6 to 8. Anybody's welcome.
Nice.
Every week is a different speaker.
Okay.
And they have on Saturdays, it's called a cleaning grill.
Okay.
From 11 to 2.
All right.
And that means we clean up the streets of Norristown.
Love it.
And then we eat, we chat and chew afterwards.
Okay. And chat and chew. So y'all eat good food.
Yes.
Okay, nice.
And it's going to be more to come.
Okay.
I know that they're having their first raffle on July 4th.
Nice. Next Friday.
July 4th, they're having their first raffle car, giving away a car to a member.
Oh.
And a cookout.
Nice. Where is that going to be located?
1102 DeKalb Street.
Okay,
Norristown, Pennsylvania, 19401. And just my final thoughts is that we as people, and I say this all the time, as we do on our podcast, Purely Speculation.
Yes. Hey, y'all.
That's every second and fourth Tuesday of the month.
Nice.
we have a what the F moment.
Okay.
So I'm not going to do a what the F right now, but it's similar.
Girl, you can do
a
what the F.
And it's basically, as I say all the time,
the flip.
That we as people, especially Black and brown, we have to do better.
Okay.
We have to support each other.
I wholeheartedly agree.
We have to stand firm with each other like every other culture does, and we have to stay out of the system because it's not made for us.
No, it's not. It's designed for us, and it's slavery. Yes.
And it's slavery intent. And I always say, and I end with this, that if you just watch the movie Get Out, and you get, you know, basically you're the highest bidder, and you stand up on that on that stage,
yes,
and they bid you out, that's how they do in these courthouses and courtrooms.
Goosebumps. It's unfortunate.
And that's how they do. When it's time for that verdict to come back, every detective, every ADA, every head comes to sit in that courtroom, and they overtake the courtroom where even no defendant's family can even sit in.
That's so unfortunate.
And just wait for that that verdict to come in. Yeah. And when it comes guilty, their name goes onto the fourth floor, onto a plaque, and it goes on the wall.
Oh, so they're getting rewarded for these guilty verdicts.
Yes.
Nice.
But 98.9, the conviction rate is not only because of deals. I mean, trials, it's because of deals.
Okay. They say Montgomery County has the highest conviction rate also.
Yes.
Which is a little scary, and we'll talk about that in a whole nother time.
Yes, definitely.
Another time.
But I thank you so much for having
me. Girlfriend, thank you.
I hope I touched on everything that you needed me to touch on.
Absolutely gave me goosebumps.
And I just wanted to get everything in as I could, just to let people know what's launching here.
Okay.
For Norristown, for our youth. And we will be having, at the end of the year, we're going to try to do a thing is called Guns Down and Kids Up. And that's basically like a day of boxing, flag football, and things like that. I'm trying to
something go to get it. The youth involved. Get your hands wrapped around something else other than a weapon. I love it, Taria. Thank you so much
Thank
for being
you.
A guest.
Thank you for having me.
We'll see you soon. So, see you folks. Soon. Ciao for now. This is another episode of Uncensored Inspiration, and I want to thank you for tuning in. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Uncensored Inspiration. Please remember to like, share, follow, and subscribe. All the things that help us to serve the community to speak freely and think boldly. Ciao for now.